Little Tommy comes in and he tells his dad that he wants a big boy bicycle. He's tired of the tricycle. I do not want to look like a little boy. And so Dad says, you're not big enough to have a two-wheeler, I think they used to call them. Well, Daddy, when am I going to be big enough? So Daddy gets a pencil, and he goes over to the wall, and he puts a mark on the wall. And he says, when you're this tall, you can have a big boy bike. Well, little Jimmy gets up the next morning. He knows for sure that he's grown during the night. And he gets a pencil and he puts it on top of his head. And he stands on his tiptoes, straining just as high as he can go. And he puts a little mark and he turns around and he looks and he says, oh no, I've got to grow some. What's he doing? He's measuring himself. Now, we do a lot of things in our lives to measure ourselves. I try to stand as light as possible on the scales. The reason being, I don't like the results sometimes. But we need to be careful how we measure ourselves. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12, beginning, we see the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth. He's writing to them regarding some situations that exist. He's writing to them, giving them words of wisdom from the Spirit so that they might direct themselves according to God's word and thereby be favorable in God's sight. He says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope. When your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. We can see from this, and the instruction given to us by the Spirit, that Paul was writing to them regarding how they measured themselves. Now, it's one thing altogether to look at little Tommy and the mark he made, and as he continues to grow and as he continues to be greater in stature, he's approaching that mark, that goal that's set there, and how that he tries to increase his measure by standing on his tiptoes. It's quite a different thing when we look at us as adults, as human beings, and how we measure ourselves. Paul was very careful how he measured himself. He was very careful not to measure himself in such a way that would be improper. And therefore, we need to discuss this evening measuring ourselves the right way. In this particular passage that we just read, Paul refers to three possible standards by which we may measure our lives. And I submit to you, there are probably more ways that men measure themselves. But I want to focus on these three. He said, first, that there are those that measure themselves by themselves. Measuring ourselves by oneself. As you turn to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15, we see what is said there regarding those who look through their own eyes, set their own standards, set their own bar, so to speak. It says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth not, or hearkeneth unto counsel, is wise. In other words, if we are trying to be our own counsel, if we are trying to justify the things that we do, the lifestyle we live, the things in which we involve ourselves, we might very well measure up to the standard that we have set. I suspect as we provide a goal for us to meet, we're not going to set it so high that we can't reach it. Oftentimes, because we are setting the goal ourselves, we'll set it down to where we know we can reach it because it's easy. And what we have done, we have measured ourselves by ourselves. We have measured ourselves by that which maybe seems right. As he said, the way of a fool is right as his own eyes. But look at Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. We need to understand that that which we think is right is not always right. It may seem logical. It may seem fair. It may seem that it's something that makes sense to us and we can get other people to agree. Yes, it makes sense. Try, if you will, talking to a denominational person about salvation and how that salvation has to be obtained. And they will tell you that their plan or the plan that they teach makes sense. Why? It's because they're measuring themselves by themselves. Proverbs 14:12 tells us, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. If we measure ourselves according to ourselves relative to our salvation, we'll fall woefully short. And that's why it says it is the ways of death. According to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6, most everyone proclaims their own goodness. Well, I'm good. And they will qualify their goodness. Some will even go to the point of quantifying their goodness. I'm good because I do such and such and this and that. Proverbs 20 and 6 tells us most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. Everybody likes to think that they're good. But what does he say? But a faithful man, who can find? When you compare it properly. The Bible also tells us that there will be few that will be saved. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, that there indeed would be few saved. He tells them where to go, where to enter in. He says, enter ye at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Let's make sure we fully understand what Jesus is saying. He's saying it's not going to be easy to live the life that he would have us live following his departure and the rules that would be passed down by the Spirit to the apostles and to other men who were chosen to write. It wouldn't be an easy thing. We see everybody else doing it, or we say, we've set the bar for our own salvation. Woe to the wise in their own eyes. We find this in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 21. We see throughout the Bible many times when the Lord says, woe to them. It's a warning for them to be careful. But those who are wise in their own eyes, it says, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. There was once a man who would often say, something to the effect, he that thinketh he is wise is a fool. Now, if you think that you're wise, you might want to find out what level of wisdom you want to ascribe to yourself, because the Bible teaches clearly throughout the New Testament that if we are wise in our own conceits, if we're wise in our own wisdom, if we're wise according to the world's wisdom, we are fools. We can see in Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, that the self-righteous are lost. Who are these self-righteous that are being spoken of in Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3? They were the Jews. They were Israel, certain parts of Israel. And notice why it is that they were lost. Paul speaks his prayer regarding his brethren Israel. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now that's a wonderful thing. He should desire that all be saved. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And therefore it should be our desire that others would be saved. But he knew these people. He saw what they did and how they reacted, how they measured themselves. He said, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." They were cognizant of God. They were aware of God. But they had a zeal of God. Shouldn't that be enough? No, according to this, but not according to knowledge. Look at verse 3. "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." So when they set the standard, patting themselves on the back because look what we have done according to what we say is right, they've fallen woefully short. "But have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Therefore, we need to understand that measuring oneself by oneself is not the standard which God set. It's not that by which we ought to be measured. We then want to move into another way in which men measure themselves. Measuring ourselves by one's neighbor. In our text, we saw comparing themselves among themselves. Now, how many times do we see this? We see in Matthew chapter 15, verse 9 and 14, that the Jews did this. Jesus said, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." In other words, the commandments of men, those things which they have set up for themselves so that they might prove themselves by themselves to be righteous, and also can use that to compare themselves to their neighbor, are doctrines of men, commandments of men. And according to Jesus, was vain worship. In verse 14, he said, "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Nobody can stop and say, "Hold it, there's a ditch there." And both the blind, that doing the leading and that doing the following, would fall in. We need to realize that among men, often it's the common practice which is the standard. As you turn to Numbers chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, we'll see this. But we understood this as children. We used that as justification when we're talking to our parents, when we wanted to do something, and mom and dad said, "No way, no how. But all the kids at school are doing it." Oh, I frequently, throughout my growing up years, I was asked the question, "If all your friends at school jumped off a cliff, would you do it?" And you stop and think about it, you think, well, I might run to the edge and look and see how far it is, or if there's water down there, or whatever the case may be. What is the answer then? No. The point is, that's not the standard. Let's see what happened in Numbers. "Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses, against Aaron, and said unto them, Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them. And the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." What are they saying? They're saying everybody's holy, and who made you boss? And as they said, everybody in the congregation are holy. They are using their neighbors as the standard. They're forgetting one thing. God chose Moses. He didn't choose Korah. He didn't choose some of these other men, these princes of renown, these men famous in the congregation. He chose Moses. And we see what happened to Korah and his followers. Those that persisted were even given another chance. All of you that want to stay with Korah, stand right over there. Everybody else, come on back over here. The earth opens up and swallows them, and they're destroyed. But notice what he was looking at. Just a common practice. We all agree. How many times has the standard been set by, you know, everybody else is okay with this. We're going to go along with this. But is it what God said? Notice, according to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 13, we're going to be judged by our works, not another's. The Bible tells us there, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell were delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. When we contemplate standing before the judgment bar of God, we needn't look to our neighbor. We needn't look to our family. We needn't look even to our spouse, because we will not stand there based upon what our spouse did, what our children did, what our parents do. We'll be judged according to how we react regarding God's law. We can't stand at the judgment bar of God and say, "All my friends did it." I suspect what we will hear at that point is, "Join your friends for eternity in condemnation." There are some statements that reveal such measurement. We've already touched on it. Well, so-and-so did it, so can I. Well, if they can do it and they can get by with it, why can't I? Does that make it right? No, it doesn't. Just because somebody else does it and they set that for their standard, that doesn't make it correct. Here's a real good one. The preacher did it. Should the preacher not follow the word of God? If he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, he should be proclaiming the law of God. The word of God is found in the scriptures. But is he the standard? How many times have you heard somebody say, "My preacher said"? Well, good for him. What does the Bible say? Oftentimes people want to look to somewhere else. I remember hearing a story one time about someone who was enamored with NASCAR. Don't have anything against NASCAR. I'm just not a race fan. But I remember hearing this story recalled. And this young boy, he was all excited about Fireball Roberts or Dale Elliott or whoever it was at the day. I'm not sure. I wasn't there. But I remember the story. And somebody said, "What did Peter and Paul say?" Who's that? What car they drive? Stop and think about it. What standard was being set? What was important? So the same thing is true with the preacher. Just because the preacher said it, don't make it so. Remember, the Bereans, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and it's not because they had a better preacher. It's because they search the scriptures daily. What if somebody says, "You know, if he can go to heaven, so can I"? It's not a daisy chain into heaven. As long as you hold on to the ones going and hold on to somebody else, all of you go in. That ain't the way it works. If he can go to heaven, so can I. I've heard people justify things regarding things here on this earth. Well, you know, if he can do it, I can do it, and it's okay. Sometimes people want to look at what other people do and do comparison. It's not like comparison shopping, where you go and you look at this particular product and you say, "Over here it's this much and over here it's that much, and I'll buy the cheaper one." It's not the same thing. What they'll say is, "What I did was no worse than what you did." What standard is being looked at? Just kind of going along with what the preacher said, you know, Brother Blank said so and so and such. Brother Blank said it was okay. Brother Blank's not your judge. And so we cannot measure ourselves by one's neighbor. By the same degree, we cannot measure ourselves by ourselves. How then are we to measure ourselves? How about this novel approach? How about measuring ourselves by God? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 13. And also we'll look at verse 18. Notice what Paul says there. "But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you." Specifically, where did the rule come from? It didn't come from Paul. It came from God. Verse 18 says, For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. I'd like for you to perform an experiment this week. I want you to walk up to five people. You may know them already. It's okay. You may know how they feel on this subject. It's okay. But ask them, are they saved? I suspect that the biggest majority of the five people that you talk to will say yes. You might get one that's hard-hearted or cold-hearted or no-hearted. Might say, who cares? But of the people who say that yes, they are saved, ask them how they know they're saved. And I will submit to you that I suspect that at least one of those people will say, I feel it in my heart. I know I'm saved because I can feel it. I know I'm saved because I have a sign. I know I'm saved because there will be some reason that they think that they will be saved. And they will use some method other than what God has said. Remember, for not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. We must speak as the oracles of God. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, we use this particular passage in our sermon this morning, but we want to use it again because it fits this particular situation. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. Why? That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Again, what did Paul say in verse 13? The rule which God hath distributed to us. We must measure ourselves, friends, by God's standard. Why? Well, he's given us what we need to measure ourselves by. He's given us that which furnishes us for every good work. We often find ourselves in a situation of saying, I can't do so and so, such and such. Why? Because we're looking at ourselves and we're saying that we can't do something because we're looking at the wrong thing to measure by. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, a piece of scripture or a passage of scripture that all Christians should know. We see that the Apostle Paul, writing to young Timothy, says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. We all ought to know that. It doesn't matter if it was from the Old Testament. Yes, some things in the Old Testament have been fulfilled and are not applicable today. We don't have animal sacrifice. We don't have those things that the Jews required to do under the old law. However, it's still scripture. It's word of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. But notice what he says regarding this scripture. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect or whole. Notice the next. And most people reading this or quoting this use a different word. It says, throughly furnished unto all good works. A lot of people, when they quote that, they'll say thoroughly. But it's throughly furnished. Everything that we need. You need more example? You need more evidence? Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. We find out exactly what he has given us. It tells us that right there. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. But how do we have it? He tells us that also. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. I can't. I don't know enough. Why not? It's there. It's not something new. It's not something that hasn't been available to us all along. Because he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We see according to John chapter 16 and verse 13 that this word that he's given us contains all spiritual truth. Jesus was talking to his disciples there. They were saddened by the fact that he was leaving. He'd been with them 3 years. They had grown very close. Matter of fact, they knew They knew without a doubt that he was the Messiah that had been promised. And their hearts were broken. He's going away. He says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. This word contains all spiritual truth. These all things that pertain unto life and godliness contain spiritual truth. In John chapter 14, verse 26, again, we see Jesus talking. And he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Notice, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. What all things? All things that pertain to life and godliness. So that they might open the doors. Remember, they were given the keys to the kingdom of heaven. They might open the doors. They might bring people in according to the measure which God had provided. John 17:17, another passage which all Christians should know. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's why Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. James chapter 1 and verse 25 tells us that this truth, these all things that pertain to life and godliness, it's the mirror of the soul. When we look into that, we should see a reflection of what God would want us to be. How do we compare? Well, that's where we measure ourselves. And if we don't quite compare, it's time to get busy. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. In other words, you can't just glance. You've got to continue looking. Notice, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. It's good to hear the truth. I love to hear the truth. I love to hear it proclaimed. But hearing it alone is not going to help me with my salvation. I've got to do it. We know that to transgress is to be without God. 2 John verse 9 tells us this. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. It's a direct statement. It's clear. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. This doctrine of Christ is the truth which was given by the Holy Spirit to the disciples, the apostles that were chosen. It's that which was recorded for us so that we might have all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's the scriptures that Paul was talking about to Timothy when he said all scripture is given by inspiration of God and tells us how profitable it is. It is that which we are to measure. It's the line that was put on the door that we are to measure ourselves by. Again, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. It will be that same law, that perfect law of liberty, that will judge us at that last day. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, not their neighbors, not how they think that they did in relation to their own standard, but according to God's word. In John chapter 12, verse 48, Jesus clearly tells us what will judge us. He says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judge him. And you say, oh yeah, I know. The Lord's going to judge us. No, what did he say? The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So how are we to measure ourselves? We're to open up the perfect law of liberty. We're to look and see how we stack up. Can we follow it perfectly? No, we can't. But we can follow it to the best of our ability, making corrections along the way. Making corrections as we see things in our lives which need to be corrected, as we are directed by the Word of God. And then we will be striving to live up to the measurement and measuring ourselves the right way. Acts chapter 17, verse 11 again. We see those Berean brethren being spoken of here. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? It's not because they measured themselves better. And in a way it is. Why? Because they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. I've noticed tonight several people writing down the scripture. Great. I appreciate it. Let me know when I say one scripture and quote another or read another. It happens. But I don't want to say anything wrong. Because God's word says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. We are to do this because it's God's plan so that we all know where the mark is. We need to measure our life by the scriptures. James chapter 1, verse 25, as we close. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. You go through life. You measure yourself by God's word. Understanding that folks do not understand the measure by which you are being measured. That you do not measure yourself by your neighbor. You do not measure yourself by yourself. And it seems like you just never make any progress. You never get ahead. This man shall be blessed in his deed. You may not receive that blessing in this life. Oh, if you're a child of God, if you're faithful, you can find a silver lining in every cloud. But when you go through the gates, when you stand at the judgment bar of God and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, you will be happy. You will be blessed. But you won't get there if you're measured the wrong way. How do we begin to measure ourselves the right way? We begin to measure ourselves the right way when we find ourselves willing to do what God said to do so that we might attain the promise of eternal life. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 tells us that we must hear the word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must believe. Jesus said in John 8, 24, I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Peter said to those on Pentecost morning that they are to repent. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Romans 10:10 informs us that we are to confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And Mark 16:16 declares to us that we are to be baptized into Christ. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And we must live faithfully until death. One of the best passages I know for this is 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, this tells us that they have obeyed the gospel. They have begun to measure themselves by the proper measure. And it says they are entangled, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Friends, what a sad, sad situation when we measure ourselves by our neighbor, or we measure ourselves by ourselves. When we stand before the judgment bar of God, we will fall short. What if we have been a child of God and we begin to measure ourselves improperly? God has provided. In Acts chapter 8, verse 22, we have what is commonly referred to as the second law of pardon. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. What is your situation tonight? How do you measure yourself? If you need to come, having heard, believed, repented, willing to confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and willing to be baptized into Christ, we ask you to come. If you come tonight because you have not lived faithfully until death, or at some point in your life you have strayed from the path of righteousness and you want to repent, we will pray with you and for you. We will do what we can to help you so that we might all measure ourselves the right way. If that is your desire and your need tonight, won't you come as together we stand and sing the invitation song.